This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. When you want to reach out to Ramya or myself via Twitter, she's at AllRams with a Z. I'm at AMI Kelly Mack. Love to hear from you. Drop a message. Feedback at AMI.ca if you want to email the company. Maybe you want to ask a question about AMI TV, AMI Tele, or AMI Audio. Feedback at AMI.ca. And, of course, 1-866-509-4545. Great way to leave us a message. Mention it's for Kelly and Company. And if you don't mind, give us permission to use your message on air. If we can, we certainly will. 1-866-509-4545. Well, co-producer Jeff Ryman is away this week. So, Rum, we have a couple of things to certainly fill in here when it comes to health headlines. We don't want people missing out. I think I'll pull up the first one, look for some comments from you as we walk our way through this one. But this is tips for parents and teachers, okay? And this is really for ways to help get students eased back into going to school, ways to keep them grounded and ease that transition back into school, because so many of us have wondered this stuff. Now, make simple and reassuring statements to children. Use terms such as, you're safe. You're not in danger. You're not alone. When connection has been established, let them know that I hear you. I see you. You can trust your inner voice. It's also really important with all of this to keep your voice lower, slower, higher notes signal. Well, they're the telltale sign, Rum, of stress. That word just as stressed or uncomfortable. So how can you assure someone that they're safe and comfortable?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, when we're looking for these safe spaces, which I think we are, a lot of us now, especially when we're, we don't all have the options to just not, right, and not go back into society and things like that. It's really hard.
It sure is. So also, let's add some imagination when it comes to lessons and activities that are going on. Let's invite the arts into learning, including handcrafts such as knitting, sewing, beading, weaving, or carpentry. Engage in sensory-based experiences using those tactile elements such as yarn, string, fabric, elastics, felt, and blocks, which really make you feel kind of nice having that in your hand. A little more, I would think, for young people, in control. Make room for rhythm, Rum, and entertainment, diverse music such as traditional instruments, or maybe some based sounds. And one of my favorites, because I certainly can go on. So introduce storytelling images through baking, through image making. I said baking. I meant image making, enactments or play. I think that's the food on the mind again. So, and I like a lot of that. For me, you get creative. You'll hear people say all the time, I want something to do with my hands, or I want to show that creative side of myself because I feel good about it, or it takes you to a different place. To help children to get used to long periods at a desk, teachers can integrate simple physical movements and energize breathing through their lessons. This obviously not to distract, but just to calm people down. So example, a butterfly, a tap on your collar, cross hands and wrists across the chest and alternately tap slowly. This supports presence and regulation. Attention and learning is really what it allows you to be able to settle back, focus. And I think, Rum, most of us are like that. If you don't want to be tapping and tapping and annoy anyone, but if you're tapping on a soft surface yourself or even being aware of yourself that way, it does help.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of this gray now, Kels, where we've become used to a certain way of dealing or expressing or being physical, right? Like, remember at the start of the pandemic when we were talking about how we realize how much we touch our face?
Yes.
Or how much we were actually putting our hands on things. And they were like, don't touch anything. And I was like, oh, sure. No. And it wasn't just the blind people, which I was super surprised about. But yeah, so that kind of thing is what's happening again. Like we're fidgeting more maybe, or we realize that we've been in relaxed spaces for a really long, what feels like a really long time, close to 2 years. And now we're going back into public spaces and still kind of being mindful of other people around us and spreading germs and all these kind of things, right?
Well, and agitating others. Like there's nothing like somebody clicking a pen,
yes,
or tapping or doing, yeah, something that
socially
makes your nerves just go. And especially if you're already anxious. Teachers could also get classes off to a good start each day by leading students through the aphragmatic breathing. Inhale through the nose for 4 seconds, then exhale through the mouth for 4 seconds. Repeat it 3 to 5 times and encourage students to do it on their own whenever possible. Balance activities so that lightness and ease can be brought to a difficult lesson, or through a difficult lesson, if you want to look at it that way. If an activity or conversation is challenging, stay with it for a short period of time, shift to something a little less demanding, then return to that challenge. Moving between demand and ease helps to keep us more focused and builds capacity and resilience, which makes very good sense, Rum, because if you know, I got to get built up again. Like we're asking people to jump back into class where maybe they've been online learning and do something so different, or even the return to the office.
Yeah, the transitional period is what a lot of us are facing in more than one capacity. Teachers, students, we're all, people going back to work, everyone is facing some kind of a transitional period.
Yeah.
And you know what? That period may take as long as the what we've faced in the pandemic itself thus far. So we have to be super patient with each other.
To help reassure students, they're returning to a safe space, absolutely important because there's so much uncertainty. Schools should clearly communicate their COVID-19 protocols. Kids need to feel that school is a safe place, and knowing the protocols and practices in place help them trust what is being said to them. It's also important to respond to student feedback. For example, if they express a need for a sanitizer dispenser to be at a certain location, it's important to really hear their worry and act on it if possible. Parents and teachers should also work to stay grounded through all of these steps. Secure a sense of safety by letting your eyes scan your place, move or adjust anything so that maybe someone needs to face a different direction. And ask yourself, am I in danger? Second, check your regulation by shifting your attention inside your body and asking, what sensations am I noticing? Take deeper breaths if you're experiencing any shallow breathing or rapid heartbeat. Then you can be in relation with the world around you and the tasks at hand. Wow, that's a really nice thing there, Rum, to look out for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of these suggestions and just mindfulness of what people are going through, what we ourselves are going through, it was really great, Kels, to point out.
I think this is pretty good too, really. When you feel overwhelmed by what's going on in your body, let your eyes move around the room or just, you know, whatever works for you. Orientate and land on a particular object. Then name the qualities of the object, such as red, metal, modern chair, maybe. This brings your attention into the outer here and now, which sometimes we feel a little like I'm lost. I kind of don't feel like I'm here. This will help you become more present, calm, and attentive. Also, exercise, we always say it can help if sitting regularly and often. If you're stuck doing it, rock on your sit bones. Press your feet into the floor and bring awareness back into your body. Pull your shoulders high to your ears. Hold for 3 to 5 seconds, then drop quickly. Introduce bilateral clapping by reaching up over your head or batting your hands on your outer thighs, or opposite biceps if that's a little bit better. Value silence and quiet time and take time to pause. The more we slow down and reset ourselves, the more we shift our quality of life and we begin to take, Rum, what some of us have lost, delight in the little things of life and go for walks, greet your neighbors, be social, move your body, do arts, engage in activities, because we need to rebuild our communities through those social engagements and play and movement. And I think one of the things for me that's always been great when I feel a little, or I feel at my best, walking and just walking past someone and saying, good afternoon. You know, a lot of times, what say?
Yes. That's something actually I realized that I call it trail culture. But, you know, when people are out on trails, biking, walking with their dogs, with their kids, with their families, I think that it's just a beautiful way to kind of remember that we don't have to all, shut the door on each other, especially in the big city like Toronto.
And be frightened of each other.
Yeah, exactly. Or think like, oh, it's the norm. I could just pop in my headphones and don't have to talk to anyone. But I think it's lovely to go on walks and really open yourself up to other people who are out there. And it doesn't even have to be conversation kills. Like you said, a friendly hello. And you just feel like it cheers you up.
I think so many of us before the pandemic were in that way that I just want to shut the world. I just need to be in my own little space. I'll put these headsets on. No one will bother me. They'll see I'm listening. And then we got to where it was like an overdose of that kind of thing, being on our own, being isolated. So I think now that's a great thing to be able to, we're all going to be, oh, hi. Oh, geez, before you were Mr. Antisocial. Now you're the big shot on campus. If possible. Welcome pets into school. Well, all right. We know how I feel about that, but it sounds like a good idea for that would
be
help
amazing.
So many children, right?
Yeah.
Classrooms or your home. Whoa. Just a couple of more things here, and I'll turn things over to Rum here. Use humor, tell jokes and laugh, make and share and eat nutritious foods with family, friends, and all the people that are in your world close enough to you. And I think that gets us really seeing the sign here in this item about the transition, but how to get back to being social and fitting into that environment. So really cool article Jeff passed on. Thought we should share hearing during our health headline segment. What do you got for me?
Okay, well, I'm going to run through this second article that Jeffy had for us, and it's tips for weight loss during quarantine. Okay. But as I was reading this, Kels, it really is tips for better lifestyle. A lot of us were joking at the start of the pandemic about, gaining COVID weight and haha, my pants don't fit anymore. But really, like in a health segment or, healthier choices, it's really just talking about overall lifestyle. So it's a few easy strategies to stay in your healthy weight range during quarantine, but some of them might actually promote weight loss, but we're talking about what's actually healthy for you. So stay hydrated is the first one. When it comes to drinking, like making sure what you're drinking is good for you is just as important as what you're eating being good for you. So soda, sweet tea, sports drinks are not good. They're loaded with sugar. They lack important nutrients and minerals and things like that. They also raise your calorie intake. So that's not good. Drinking more water makes you feel more full. It decreases your caloric intake daily as well. And a study in 24 older adults with excess weight and obesity showed that drinking 500 milliliters of water before breakfast reduced the number of calories eaten at that meal by 13%. So that's pretty significant. We're also going to talk about physical activity. Try to squeeze it in if you can, taking a walk around your neighborhood, like you said, Kels, doing some body weight exercises like push-ups, or finding some kind of home routine workout online, which there's tons now. These activities not only burn extra calories to ward off weight gain, but also help manage stress and anxiety. So there's all these benefits. Also, stock up on healthy food. So when you're going into this grocery store, try to shop around the perimeter because that's where all the health stuff is, right? The fresh produce, the dairy, all the grains and legumes. If you're in the center of the grocery stores, most likely you're going to find all the canned stuff, the junk, and that's not good. And my own tip here, this wasn't in the article, don't go grocery shopping hungry. So this is, I guess highlighting these three are pretty good and I can pause there for now, but lots of great things, including cooking at home and making sure that you meal prep to keep you on track on your health goals.
I think it's great. It's a lot to think about. And we may have to do a little bit more on that one Friday on lifestyle when we return, but it really does, because it's such a big concern so many of us have had and have had to figure out how we're dealing with it when it comes to that. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We just finished up our health headlines in lieu of Jeff Ryman being here. We'll cover off his lifestyle stuff on Friday when we get back into some of these very interesting items and helpful. Margaret Weldon is up next with In the Know.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.